So my name's, I think you already introduced me, but my name's Jenna Chalmers. I'm game designer on Spore. I'm going to give a brief overview. Maybe you know a lot about Spore already, so stop me if you've heard this. This is our galaxy opening screen, where you start a new game by clicking on any number of the stars. And when you do that, more stars open for you to add more games. So it's more saved games than just what you see here. This is just the starting stars. Normally, come in, you play at cell level, and then go through all those cycles that you just saw in the trailer, creature, tribe, civ, and space. However, if you just want to play a little bit of the level, it will unlock the next level, so you can jump ahead and play with a different creature at each level if you like. If you play all the way through, you are rewarded with extra super abilities. Epic journey from cell to space gives you the most opportunity to have the most super abilities as well as most consequence for how you play. So when you start at cell, even though cell is a very short game in the beginning, like maybe 10 minutes long, how you play cell can have consequences and rewards all the way through the rest of the game, even through space. But if you are a player who likes to just play one of the levels, it's quickly unlocked and you can play those levels too. Before we play a level, you can also play any of the levels at easy, medium, or hard. So if you are a casual gamer or a hardcore gamer, there's a variety of options. Also, when I show the game in the timeline, there are different ways to play the game. So you can play the game in a more challenging way or in a more direct way, depending on your style also. If you are someone who just likes to create, so our kind of player likes many different ways to play the game. Some of our players are mostly about making creations and using the editors. We sent the editor out, the creature editor, in June, and already there, as of the last demo, there was nearly 3 million creatures up, 2.9 million creatures. So almost 3 million already from June for the editor that we pre-released. You can jump straight into the game and have access to all the editors. So if you just want to build, if you just want to make vehicles or spaceships or creatures, you can jump in straight away and start making any of those without having to play the game. But if you play within the game, there are different consequences. This is for free building. And then maybe you've also heard of Sporepedia, which is part of our process for sharing content. So everything I make goes up into the universe for other people to experience in their galaxy. And if you make something, it goes up to the Sporepedia for me to break down into my galaxy. I have a lot of different ways I can manage that content. So I can either say, only send me things that are made by my friends and by the people that I subscribe to their Sporecast, so that I don't get random content if I don't want it. I can say, just send me things on the disc and don't send me any online content at all. So I have control to say how much of the user-made content I want to see. We hope that people will play with user-made content because it's better than what we made and it's very good. So ultimately that will provide you with a galaxy's worth of data if you use the online content. So I can look at some of the things other people have made that I've subscribed to. And then, of course, on my score page, I also see my achievements, which are like kind of like Xbox achievements, where I'm unlocking achievements throughout the gameplay. And also, I can manage my comments from here, and the things people want to say about my creatures, I can manage from here. So let me see if I have. Go into this level. So if you're familiar with Spore, you've probably seen a lot of the cell level and possibly some of the creature level. Those are levels we often demo because they get going very quickly. But I want to show you a little bit about the timeline, which speaks to the consequences of the overall game and the storyline that you follow as a whole game. So this is my little creature. I've just started this level. So this is my progress bar that I fill across the bottom, and I fill this either by befriending other creatures or by attacking them. Either will move me forward, so I have a choice. I can also do a little bit of both. So if I look at the timeline, this is my evolutionary timeline. And as a creature, which started here at generation 5, I have the option to become either play in a style of a predator or a social style or something that's a mix of both styles. So how I play the game gives me, at the end of the creature game, some superpowers. So if I play as a predator at the end of the creature game, I'll have superpowers for tribe, civ, and space that are more aggressive superpowers. But if I play in a social way, I will have some superpowers that are social. The reason I started here in the first place is because in cell game, I added a carnivore mouth. And in cell game, what matters is what you eat. So I can either be an herbivore, an omnivore, or a carnivore. And whatever I come out of cell being, I will be that for the rest of the game. So that's a consequence I choose in cell that matters for the rest of the game. So in cell game, you can look at my timeline. This has my history. You see that I killed some things. I found some parts. I died once, maybe twice. Twice I died. But every time I ate meat, it moved me towards being defined as a carnivore, yes? So as I ate, at this point, I added also a second mouth to my cell, which ate green parts. And at that point, it moved me up a little bit towards being an omnivore, because I was eating both meat and plants. But at the end of the day, I ate enough meat to define myself as a carnivore, and therefore earned these superpowers, one for every level past me, that I can use in future levels. So it would be easier for me to stay in an aggressive style now because I've earned superpowers to help me be aggressive. But I decided to try and change my ways and rethink my character. So now I have been befriending other characters and moving my way up slowly towards social, or maybe I will get as far as that and I'll be adaptable, which is fine too. So one style isn't better or worse than the others. It's just different, and there are many combinations of how I play, whether I'm an aggressive style all the way through, or I can be part aggressive and part social, or I can change from level to level. I could also jump in later if I wanted to play another game. I could jump in at tribe level and play through Civ and Space and have those superpowers that I earned along the way. I would never, of course, if I jump in at tribe, I will miss the opportunity for the superpower from cell and creature, but it's not all or nothing. At any point that I want to jump in or jump out, I can have those superpowers from the previous levels. So I wanted to show you a couple fun filters that we've added for primarily what we call our storytellers. So in The Sims, we had a lot of players that like to make movies and take pictures and create captions or create stories about their characters. So we've added a few filters, especially for this purpose, just for fun. So this is the cheat window, which most people already know about, but I'm gonna do a few cheats. This is not part of the regular UI, obviously. But if I do, so this is our film noir filter. So you can make a black and white gruesome film. I wouldn't necessarily recommend playing the game this way, but just to create movies and to create snapshots. This is one of the possible kind of stylized filters. There's one other one I wanted to show you. So again, not the best way to play the game, but good for making movies and creating images. Let me turn these off. There, now we're back to normal. So I've been playing aggressively, but now I will choose to play more socially. And all of these creatures that I'm meeting are made by other players. I'm at a very low level right now, so I'm meeting fairly unevolved creatures that are fairly basic and don't have a lot of elaborate parts. But as I earn parts and as I evolve, then the creatures around me will start to evolve as well. And as I migrate to my next nest, I will encounter more and more evolved species until I'm at tribe level. And each time I evolve, I'm getting a little bit larger brain. So this was made by this user. I don't know who that is. So somewhere out in the galaxy, someone made this creature. And if I sing to it, I can befriend it. This game is to mimic what they're doing, but he's very low level, so he'll probably just sing. If he were more advanced, he would require me to do more advanced socials. This is an alpha one, so it should get me a part. I befriended a couple people, so I'm moving slowly up towards my goal of being a little more adaptable. The other level I thought we'd jump into maybe real quick is the space level, because that's kind of at the other end of the spectrum. So this is my solar system that my home planet is on. Let's actually fly in and take a look. So this is what one of the cities looks like. And you hear the procedural music being played. You as a player have the opportunity to customize your own music as well. I have taken over all of the cities on this planet. They are all my cities, which means I've reached the end of Civ game. I could have done that by militaristic means or religious means, or I could have traded and taken them over economically eventually. So I have different strategies for taking over the planet. So some things I learned about my solar system are that planets that are very close to the sun or have a red trail, planets that are more ideally situated have a green trail, and planets that are farther away have a blue trail. So I can explore lots of different kinds of planets, from ones that are very barren to ones that are lush. And where I choose to colonize affects the T-score affects the productivity, so that if it's a more lush planet, then I can have more colonies and have more productivity. Right now I have a mission to colonize the star over here, so I'm going to fly over there. I am just a very young spaceship right now, so I have a very limited range that I can jump. So as I develop, I'll be able to earn more and more distance in one jump. I can still get information about stars outside my range, but I can't, only as far as this ring here, and then that's a signal of intelligent life, because I'm picking up some radio waves, so I can go there and meet another NPC, which would of course be made probably by another player. Just real quick about space is the longest game of all of them. It's the most open-ended. You can define your own goals and play lots of different games. But just to kind of show you some of the accomplishments you might choose to pursue in space, this is my, I don't have any missions yet except for from my This is my what I look like. I'm a bush. I move really quick. But when I meet other alien races, I can pick up missions from them, and I can do things for other people to earn money or to build alliances with them. This is kind of one of the main tracking of my progress, you might say. But it's up to me to define what kind of progress I want to be rewarded for. But you can see here, this is the Explorer badge. I haven't earned it yet. If I travel to 15 more solar systems, I will earn the Explorer 1 badge, and that will unlock some terrain sculpting tools, and also give me 2 badge points. And badge points are what move this forward here, so that I earn more and more titles as I earn more and more badges the more I play. I can also hunt for rares around the galaxy, and I can sell them, or I can decorate my planet with them. I haven't found any yet, so there's them here. And then this is our tool tech tree, so you can see the socialization tools and what it would take to unlock them. I also have some colonization tools, weapons, atmosphere tools. These are what help mold the planet. So I'll show you. I don't have any yet, so I can't do that, but I'll show you what they would do. And then here are my cargo upgrades, my interstellar drive upgrades that allow me to jump farther in one jump.
You earn them?
Some of them through badges. So this one requires a frequent flyer 2 or a gopher badge. So frequent flyer is the number of trips I've made, so flying around helps me earn that one. And the gopher badge, I think that's completing missions for NPCs where I go and I find an animal for them and I bring it back to them. So if I were to do that many times, a few times, I would earn a gopher badge, and that would earn me some badge points.
Is it difficult to get them?
No. Well, it's difficult to get some of them. Like, okay. The more badge points you're getting, like Interstellar Drive 2, not so bad. Interstellar Drive 5, a little more work. You know, like every step along the way, it gets a little harder to go up farther and farther. But many of the early level badges, just flying around a little bit, you'll earn a few, because you get badges for exploring and flying. But some of the badges are much more challenging to get, and they give you more points when you get those. Okay, so I'm going to fly very quickly over to this planet. Okay, so I'm looking for the planet I'm supposed to colonize, which I think is this one. So this is a T0 planet. So my homeworld was a T3 planet, and this speaks a little bit to the terraforming game, where you try and improve planets in order to make them more desirable for colonization. So I could put a colony down here, but it's not going to be super productive, but I'm going to do it anyway. So you can see visually, of course, that this is not as idyllic as my home world has. If we look actually here, we see that it is out of its target range. So my planet on my home world was right smack dab in the center of the target, meaning it could support the maximum amount of biodiversity, the maximum amount of plants and animals. But this planet, all of its plants and animal lines are locked, because the temperature is actually okay. It's about halfway between cold and hot, but it does not have enough atmosphere. It's out of the target range for supporting life. So I'm still going to put a colony down here, because I'm crazy. So this colony appears in a dome because I'm on a T0 planet with no atmosphere, so they have their own cloistered atmosphere here, but it just has the bare minimum amount of life to support a basic outpost. And if I try and add buildings to it, I can't because it says the terra score is too low. I would have to improve the terra score. So the terraforming game is that I would have to add atmosphere using my atmospheric tools, and then I would quickly, I'd have to fly around first and gather some plants and animals, because in order to lock the terraforming score in, I need to put down plants to stabilize the atmosphere. So that's one of the more complex games in space that has the most moving parts, is to improve the score, put the plants down, and put the animals down to stabilize it, and then you can take it to the next level. So that's a little bit about the space game. I have filters that help me navigate all this information. So I can see where I've traveled to using this trail. I can just mark all the stars that I've visited and kind of turn most of it off. And there's cheats to hide the rest of the UI also, if I'm just wanting to take some screenshots or pictures or something like that. This is now my empire of two stars. If I had met anyone else, I could see their empire also, but I haven't met anyone yet. So I can kind of gather the information that I want. But that's about space. Are there any questions?
Your colony that you've put on this parent planet,
yes.
Doesn't it eventually die because it can't really they can't really gather plants or food that's outside of the dome? Or
yes, fortunately they will survive in their little biome because they are growing what they need just for a small number of people inside the biome. But in order to
make it larger,
expand to add any buildings for colonists to come. Then, yes, I would have to add plants and animals, and then I could support life there. I can't really support life there yet. Just those little pre-drones that are there are the only thing that can survive at the moment.
And I've seen in a demo from Will Wright on Comic-Con that he would put down these little tools that would help them become happier, something like that.
I don't have any yet because I didn't cheat like Will does. But these are colony tools. And in the colony tools, I have tools to help my defenses and help my happiness, as you saw, and help my productivity. But I have not earned any of them yet because I didn't cheat. But once I have those, then I would look for my colonies that are in most need of those and go and invest in making those colonies better.
You can also defend this colony, I believe, like with satellites or something.
Yes, there's tools to help me make it much more defensive because space there. Depends if I'm playing on an easy or a hard level, how hostile space is. Also depends on what's generated near me. Every game might be a little different for what's how aggressive the people are around me. If I go and I attack lots of people, then I will create a more hostile environment and people will attack me more. But if I play more diplomatically, then there are still people who are hostile, but there are much fewer than if I'm going around making other people angry. Then there will be more hostile people in the world. If I'm one of the hostile people, then they'll be and that's part of the difficulty setting too. If I play on a hard level, so like The Sims in SimCity, there's not one specific goal. It's up to the player to define their goals, and ultimately you could play space, Will quotes 70 years that you could play space and not run out of content. I'm not actually suggesting that you try to play it for 70 years, but you could in theory keep flying around and looking at planets and stars for 7 years. However, if you are someone who likes a more defined goal, there are some things that you can choose to kind of have as your goal. One goal might be, so you have this progress bar that your badges are filling up, and to get to the final title, you must earn all the badge points, not all, but you must earn enough badge points to get to the end, and at the end you get the 10th level title, so that might be one goal. There's also the opportunity to explore space, of course, so if I pan back, space is very large, so which is why there are 70 years of places to go. But many people seek out the center of the galaxy, so we put a little destination meter for how close you are to the center of the galaxy, so you know when you've reached the center. Yeah. So that's another thing. You could have a goal of maybe discovering all the rares, or unlocking all the badges, or acquiring all the tools, or unlocking all the tools. Like, there's many different things you could say, this is my goal, and once I do this, then I'm going to start over with another creature. But it's up to you really to define. There's a few high-level things, like becoming Master Badge level 10, or finding the center of the galaxy, or maybe, but that doesn't mean once you've done those things, you can continue to play. There's plenty more things to do, but those are kind of high level goals.
Yeah, you said something about it's difficult to earn some badges. Can you brag about you got those badges with
yes.
your friends at Sporkia?
Yeah,
so, you know.
yeah, absolutely. And also, there's also the achievements, which are a little different than the badges. So, and the achievements are already posted to your My Sport page, so people can immediately see. And most of the things that are very challenging to do have achievement unlocks with them, so everyone will be able to see what you have achieved from your achievements on your sport.
And is there like a game over in the game?
Nope. We never make you stop. You can keep playing as long as you want.
You can play for 70.
Like I said, there are things that you can say, you know, I got to level 10. You know, there's no Master Badge level 11, so you can say I got to Master Badge level 10. And whew, that was enough for me, I'm done. But you don't have to stop. You can keep playing as long as you want. Because ultimately, there's a lot of stars. And you can continue to terraform, or do missions, or to continue to make money, or buy and sell. You may have found all the rares, maybe you want to buy more. But maybe there's lots more things you can continue to do. And really what makes it open-ended is also not only how many stars there are, but that every place you go has unique things to see, because if you've seen like all the stuff in Sportpedia with everyone making unique things when they're pollinating planets and they're you know, animating on planets, and you can go and every world is a little different because you're seeing all this interesting content, then you know that ultimately you never run out of things to see.
And you play alone? Can you play with other players online? Or
so we call we call massively single player. So the way this score works is you can interact with content from other people. You can make scorecasts that include content from other people, and I can see and interact and make alliances with their content. But they are playing in their own galaxy, and I'm playing in my own galaxy. And ultimately, I don't affect them in their galaxy. I can affect their score ratings and their stats on websites and things like that. But I don't affect if you blow me up in your galaxy, if you make me go extinct in your galaxy, I'm still okay in my galaxy. So they're separate galaxies, but their interaction is that we might be in each other's galaxy, or I could make a forecast with yours. And if you've made something that I like, I can help to populate that around. More questions?
Nee? Want dan gaan we het hierbij houden. Dan is er nog tijd voor one-on-ones, ja. Mensen die daar interesse in hebben. Jullie kunnen allemaal naar de hands-on kamer gaan, waar dat de PC-game en de NDS-game te spelen is.